It is time for the Berkshire Edge on air. You can find them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week online, theberkshireedge.com, theberkshireedge.com. But right now, you can find them right here on Robinhood Radio. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning on this frosty morning.
Yes. Now, I think this is hilarious because I was going to tell you something that I was looking at over the weekend. Your first show, Cannabis Corruption. Before we get to that topic, a bunch of people posted from New York and from Connecticut, very upset at people who live in Massachusetts that continue to go to Theory Wellness in Great Barrington, where there's lines that are 55 to 60 people long, where they can take a 15-minute ride up the road to Lee, and there is never a line.
Really?
People
and why don't they go up to Lee?
Well, because for them, it's not the extra. You know, they've already traveled to Great Barrington, but they can't understand. Hmm. If you're in Great Barrington, yeah, and you're going to wait in line for an hour, why don't you just drive up to Lee, get your pot, and come back and wave at the other people as they're still waiting?
Well, it's a good question. The Lee cannabis store, though, tells me that they're doing extremely well.
They are, but
they obviously have figured out how to do it without people standing outside.
That's exactly
right. Now that it's getting cold, it's, you know, standing outside is going to be a lot less appealing.
Or people will be going to Lee.
Anyways.
People will be going to Lee.
I just thought I'd toss that to you because there were pictures of somebody took of Lee at different times of the day. And there's never a line. But anyways, let's get on to the real cannabis corruption, which is the federal investigation. You knew that this was going to happen because there's so many.
The feds oppose it.
Well, no, it also. No, there's
the money. When it's money.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, you know, there's so many different ways you can be corrupt, and there's so many different. They pay this. You pay a city tax, a state tax. There's so many ways this money can get lost.
Yes. Well, in this case, this is a story that was generated originally by a story in the Boston Globe about the federal investigators looking into corruption in the cannabis in the arrangements. You know, that in order to for towns to establish these. Cannabis stores, you might say, they have to have a host agreement. And it's in the creation of those host agreements that there may be some payoffs, let's say. And that's what they're looking into, the feds. And one of the towns they're looking into is Great Barrington. Surprise, surprise. And we're, you know, because we are pot central in southern Berkshire County, I think we have 4 or 5 outlets, and so the feds are looking into, you know, whether bribes were paid, basically, to get their host agreements. So that's the that's what the investigation is all about.
There's so much. I just knew that it's not going to take that long because there's so much money involved here, not on the consumer end, basically on an individual basis, but the pot of money for pot is so significant that you know that you absolutely know. In today's civilization, there's going to be corruption someplace. You just know it.
Haven't there been any TV series or anything about drug dealers? I mean, come on. I mean, really. It's like, how can you not think that this chain of events is not going to create some sort of blowback?
Yeah, well, I must say, I think the feds have been, from the start, have been skeptical of this arrangement, you know, for there being marijuana dispensaries to begin with, you know, there you go.
It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. The smart way to set it up would have been to have the state take the revenues and then distribute that money back to the towns. But people in the towns don't trust the state with the money anymore because
the state. And who's to say that the state wouldn't have been any more corrupt.
That's exactly right.
But the thing is that this is not about where the money's gone.
No.
This is about where the money went before they got the license.
That's right. Exactly right.
Right. So that wouldn't necessarily have made any difference. I mean, this is who got them. Now, you could say that the state could have given out the licenses, but I don't think any town would have gone for that.
No, but now
you can think of this, that in Vermont, for example, liquor stores are state-run, you know?
Yeah.
They're state liquor stores. That's where you get hard liquor. That's how they run it in Vermont.
Well, what's great about this is it's created a new meaning for seed money. You used to have seed money for a business. It was legitimate.
Well, it is an extraordinary amount of money that the towns are getting from the Great Barrington.
It's
more than $1 million
that was just the first payment.
That's just in the first quarter.
First half.
Right.
And that's only half of, I think, what we're going to get for the first half.
Right.
I think that, you know, there's there's a 3%, there's 3%, and then there's another 3%, isn't that right?
Yep. So it's really...
So the 3% was $1 million, which means that in the first 6 months, Theory Wellness, you know, according to my calculation, took in $30 million.
Yeah. Well, it wouldn't surprise me.
Most
of it out of New York State.
Yeah.
Well, there are lines. They are right. You know, there are lines there every day.
Yeah.
Long lines in front of Theory Wellness. It's quite astonishing.
Okay. Let's move on to something that's
And most of them are from Connecticut, I might say. No.
Oh, I've got a friend who works at the motel across the street, the Holiday Inn. And the amount of cars that you see that have, especially on the weekends, and there's nothing special going on that weekend, the New York, the New Jersey plates that are in that parking lot for that hotel is astounding. And then you go
staying at the hotel in order to go buy their stuff at Theory Wellness?
Over the course of a couple of days for their friends, because you can only get a certain amount for each day. So it's it really is. Quite a business is all you can say.
Well, it is quite a business. Yeah.
I think this is a phenomenon for the first, but we have, there are two or three more that are in the works for, you know, downtown Great Barrington. Of course, parking is going to be more difficult. But, you know, I can't imagine they're all going to do this well.
But
who knows? But you know, maybe they'll do well enough.
Maybe there's an insatiable appetite for...
That could be.
Maybe.
But there's no line in Lee.
No. So. All right. Well,
either they're processing them much more efficiently in Lee, or there isn't that much business to go around. I don't know. But Lee says they're doing extremely well. They're very pleased. I've spoken with them.
All right, let's go on to the next story.
Canna Provisions.
All right. The Kennedy campaign cartel has rolled into Massachusetts west side.
West, yeah, right.
Yeah, the Kennedy magic is still there, that's for sure. He was Joe Kennedy, who's thinking of challenging the Senate, Ed Markey, for the nomination to run for Senate, U.S. Senate. Markey is already our senator, but Joe Kennedy is challenging him in the primary. And, the Kennedys, there's something about them. There he is opening a campaign event in Pittsfield. And standing right next to him is Senator Adam Hines, State Senator Adam Hines. So, if I were Markey, I think I would be, like...
Nervous.
Nervous, yes. Nervous. But, you know, in Berkshire County, the Kennedys have a special connection because Gene D'Elia, who is runs the Fairview Hospital and is part of the Berkshire Healthcare System, has been a longtime Kennedy supporter.
And friend.
And friend of the families. So, you know, the Kennedy family has always been welcome in Berkshire County.
Well, and they have an influential friend in Berkshire County.
Yeah, they do.
He's a very smart guy.
Yeah.
Who, you know, was able to get, I mean, he was instrumental in getting Ted Kennedy to approve Jacob's Pillow as a historical site. And, there, you know, there have been a number of things that the Kennedys have done in western Massachusetts. And it's mostly been, you know, through the good offices of Gene D'Elia.
Right.
So, Ben, the other person who was, you know, standing up with him was Andrea Harrington, who's
right.
our new district attorney. But, so, the young progressives are, you know, are lining up behind behind Joe Kennedy.
Yeah, it's
and
a new generation. It's interesting.
Markey is not so well known, you know, I
out
think,
west, yeah.
Yeah, he's not so well known. I mean, I'm not sure he's so well known in the east either, because he was, when he was representative, he was, before he was senator, I mean, his territory was Greater Springfield. When we lost a congressperson in the last census, his district got expanded to cover, you know, the Berkshires. But he is not so well known or loved in the Berkshires. And I'm not, you know, I don't know how well known and loved he is in eastern Massachusetts either. So, you know, Kennedy's got a strong base in eastern Massachusetts and obviously friends in western Massachusetts. So, you know, he could have a good shot at this, even though Markey is very senior now. I mean, he's head of the, is he head of the Ways and Means Committee?
Yeah. So he's
so you know, and a new senator won't have the same seniority.
Well,
but he is a Kennedy.
That's us.
Yeah.
that last name tends to help.
He's got that
know.
Last name, right?
Yeah.
Tends to help.
And they're all going to show up. You know, all of the Kennedy. I'm sure all the cousins are going to show up here and campaign for him.
Yeah.
You know, I always said that Caroline Kennedy should run for president. Either her or Michelle Obama should be the Democratic nominee, or
Michelle
else put them
Obama.
Put them both on
Well, Caroline is quite impressive. She is very impressive.
She was very impressive.
You know, the problem was that she ran. She tried to run for senator in New York, and her public presence was not. Effective. I mean, I know her. You know, I've known her for a long time since she was right out of college. And
she went to Radcliffe.
Did she? Oh, but at any rate, I mean, she's a lovely woman, and but she didn't do well. She didn't speak well, which is surprising.
I was really impressed. I was impressed when she became, I think, the ambassador to China.
Japan.
She was just fantastic in that role.
Yeah, but she was also very quiet. And Marcy raises an issue that was very much an issue. Like it's just people tend to project on other people what they want them to be, and sometimes that works, and sometimes it doesn't.
Caroline didn't come across as you know, as the kind of speaker and connector. She was, anyway, I mean, you know, she's very smart and she's well connected, and I'm sure she did a great job as she was ambassador to Japan, and she's certainly well connected, and she's done a lot of public service, but somehow
the public, you know, face of it is not the
All right.
Well, let's move on to another horse that's been beaten into the ground here, and that is this story is approaching the small plastic water bottles. The administrative woes at the Southern Berkshire Regional School District. I'm not laughing at it, but it's just one of those stories that just floats to the top.
We did a summary of this district that. This poor school district that's really in disarray.
And we did. This is our editorial.
Yeah. And it's really a shame for that that small district, because part of the problem, I think, is that the number of students has been declining quite dramatically there, and the whole administrative structure, as well as the physical structure of the schools, is established for far greater population, and they've been in serious talks with the school district just to the north, the Berkshire Hills Regional School District, about merger and how that might take place, and I think that this is the consequence of this, is that the district itself, the Southern District itself, has had just all kinds of administrative, you might say, meltdowns of the principal and teachers charging that they're being harassed by administrators, and it's just kind of a mess there. It's a shame.
Well, you should come down and take a look here in Region 1. It'd be the same thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Have you got the same thing?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
There's a general distrust between the public, teachers, and everybody else, and the superintendent's office, yes.
And most times we've discussed this. We've drawn a parallel.
Yeah. It seems to be the same thing with schools with declining population and increasing budgets. And this, it's a mixture for a controversial stew.
Yeah. It's really a shame. Unfortunately, the people who suffers are the students.
Students. That's exactly right.
In this mess. So unfortunately, this is going to continue for a while. But we're pointing out that the negotiations between these two school districts had better continue apace and resolve it for the sake of the students, for heaven's sakes.
All right. Well, now we're going to, I said beat a dead horse. Well, we're not going to beat a dead horse.
Oh, I like it.
Let's go to the post and racing. Racing in Great Barrington.
This is the first time we've had sound effects.
Well,
I
saw the story about horse racing coming up, so I said, you know what? It deserves the call to the post to introduce the story. So, anyway. This is going to be a story that's right, because it involves state control and home rule. And states do not like to give up control over something they already have control of. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, this is going to be
a huge
battle.
So, the question is whether to restore horse racing as an event and as a season at the Great Barrington Fairgrounds, which has been renovated and. I can remember, by the way, seeing horses racing there, about 20 years ago.
Yeah, in the summer of 1998.
Yeah, and it was, it was packed, actually.
It was fun.
And it was fun. But people are upset about the way there are two issues, I think, that people are concerned about. One is the condition of the way that horses themselves are treated, which is at this level of horse racing, I think is not very good. And then the other is the who are the financial benefactors of who benefits from this racing? And there are some unsavory characters, you might say, that get involved in the horse racing.
And they expect that there's also going to be off-track betting,
I think what you're talking about is part of the problem, but the big part of the problem, yes. I think, is A, the home rule, and B, and you just hit about the second part. Once horse racing comes in, and then there's legalized gambling, then so when you take home rule versus the state rule, and when you take the money the state can take in from horse racing and gambling, it puts for a volatile mix. Take all the other issues of concerns about horses aside. Those two issues are the big issues that are going to really decide this in court.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so they're thinking, Greg Parrington, there are some members of the Board of Selectmen, namely one in particular, Lee Davis, who is very concerned about this and wants to have a local referendum, a local vote on this issue. So that will be used. That hasn't been scheduled, but it's in the air that it could happen. And that would be a very interesting vote, I think, to see whether or not, what the people actually believe.
Well, that'll be interesting. It's interesting. You have a bunch of stories that will always, for probably the next 3 months, keep cycling to the top and back around with one another.
But the other thing is, just on the horse race question. You know, when you talk about marijuana and how much money got exchanged, I am sure there's a lot of money being thrown around on behalf of horse racing. I mean, there's the race track in Boston. It's not Churchill Downs.
It's Suffolk.
There's a racetrack in Boston.
Suffolk.
Suffolk Downs. That wants, that they're the ones that want to operate this one in Great Barrington.
Yeah.
So, like I said, God knows what kind of money is being thrown around in Boston.
In the end, it will come down to home rule versus
and,
state rule.
I don't know how much, probably much less in Great Barrington, actually.
Listen, you guys, I have to sign off for a minute because
we only have 2 minutes left anyway.
I have to take my son to school next door.
Oh, right. Well, you timed it really well.
Take your son to school, and we'll head to where you can pick the final story out of the two we have left here, Marcy.
Okay, well, I would like to talk about the city slicker from Los Angeles. I'll do two, very quickly.
Okay.
Carolyn Neuberger is continuing her series of what she's discovering out in the forest. She and her husband, who are really very interesting people, who write our music and dance reviews as well. And Carolyn is an artist and a writer, and she is also a retired child psychologist. But they've moved to the woods in Lenox, and she and her dog are taking forays out into the forest. And she's discovering what goes on in the forest year-round and also painting beautiful pictures. So this is, I don't know what number, but this is chapter 19. So, and they're all very interesting to read, so I recommend them to readers. But the other one, which is very funny, is here another transplanted Berkshireite, a woman named Susan Winston, who's a former television producer. She was, she produced Good Morning America at ABC, and then she became a psychotherapist, and she is now living in Hillsdale, and she wrote she's written several very funny pieces for us, but this one is about, the city slicker from Los Angeles has zoological adventures living in the Berkshires, and she talks about, the bats in the house, the mice in the house, she lives near Catamount. She says there are mountain lions and catamounts that walk by her office window every day. And a bear tried to come into their garage. So she's very funny about how a transplant from Los Angeles deals with this form of wildlife, having left, the characters in the wildlife in Los Angeles to come to this.
It's an amazing thing.
Pardon?
It's an amazing thing to change your lifestyle, and you better be prepared for it.
Yeah. Well, but also,
no one is.
Again, our readers are very active, very participatory, and she, in the course of her story, she talked about how she was dealing with mice, and that, you know, she said there's nothing worse than lying in bed and hearing a trap go off and then hearing it bounce along the floor because the mouse wasn't killed yet. And I know that I had that in my house once, and it was horrible.
I lived above a spice market in my loft in the city. Come on.
All right, well, we got to...
Pardon? So,
I said I lived above a spice market in my loft in New York City.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, well, then...
You don't even need to go to the country for this.
She talked about how she got these mouse houses where the mice goes in and gets stuck, and there were a barrage of comments about how horrible those are for the poor mice. So there's great discussion about how she deals with the wildlife.
All right. Well, with that being said...
I mean, I love our readers. You know, they really are very participatory, and you never know what they're going to pick up on. And we have these lively discussions online, you know, on the edge. So it's great fun.
All right. Well, we are flat out of time now. But once again, you can find theberkshireedge.com, theberkshireedge.com, and right here on a Wednesday morning. We'll speak to you guys next week.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good.
That is the Berkshire Edge on air here on Robin Hood Radio.